Good morning.
Good morning.
It's my joy and privilege to stand before you once again in service as a deacon of this church. I want to welcome all of you today, and as we gather in the presence of the Lord, we commemorate the visit of the Magi and celebrate the revelation of Christ to all nations. This is a time of joy, reflection, and unity in our faith. And with those thoughts in mind, let us stand and extend our hands and hearts in friendship as we meet and greet one another until the music calls us back to our seats. Announcements this morning. One I forgot to mention earlier, please register your attendance in the red books at the end of each aisle and pass them back and forth so that people can see what your name and so forth. Outreach Commission, 7 p.m. Monday on Zoom. Church Council, 7 p.m. Thursday on Zoom. Offering envelopes are no longer needed. Just mark your check if the donation is for a specific offering, otherwise it will go into the general fund. Sign up to be a buddy or request a buddy with Renee Deering. Looking for special music for winter, spring? Would you like to share your talent? Contact Carolyn Thompson to sign up. The Tuesday morning Bible study leaders, Joan and Rhonda, have decided to announce to the group that our session on Tuesday, January 7th, will be on Zoom. Start the new year off right by joining Sunday school at 9:45. The adult Sunday school is starting a new series, In the Footsteps of the Savior, by Max Lucado. Donations for the Little Pantry and Bowie Food Pantry are always welcome. Kids' activity bags for younger and older kids with worksheets and fidgets. Please return the fidget to the bag after the service. Can you give someone a ride? Check the sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. And now I'd like to make an announcement for the giving statements, but I'm going to let Carolyn Thompson elaborate on that.
Every year, we keep track of your annual giving, and we will have a giving statement if you've given here in the sanctuary. In the box in the back, it looks like Nanette may be handing them out as she finds you. The important thing to remember is if you split your giving through Tithely and directly, there will be two giving statements. One Tithely will email to you sometime after the 15th of the month, and then the paper copy for your local giving. So please, if you've given during the year, check the back table. Look over that giving statement if you note any mistakes that might have been made, because we're just human. Please do let us know. There's an email on the letter where you can send a note and saying you guys made a mess of it all. So Please pick up your statements.
Thank you, Carolyn. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
stand and join me as we sing Arise, Shine.
Let's now raise our concerns to God and to one another in this time of prayer. Let's pray together, friends. God of new beginnings, we are so grateful. We are so grateful to be here at the start of a new year, fresh off the press. We are so grateful to be here at the start of a new week, gathered in community. We are so grateful, God, to begin again. So here at this beginning, we bring you our prayers. Holy God, for the people who stand at a crossroads, unsure of what decision to make, give them clarity. For those who are weary and worn down by the switchbacks of life, for those walking with blisters, for those desperate to find their way home, provide them comfort. For those who feel confined by paths that are too straight or too narrow, guide them to wide open spaces. For Casey, Connor, Joe, Morgan, for Rob, Joyce, Jerry, Chuck, the Dooleys, families and fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, for Gary, for Joel, for the McKay family, for peace, God, for the victims of the New Orleans terrorist attack. Show them your glory in this new path, in this new year, which is an untamed path. Show them your glory in the twists and the turns that will inevitably come and have come already. For those who walk alone, surround them with community. For those who walk afraid, grant them protection. For those who want to walk home but have found that home is no longer there, destroyed by war or disaster, deemed unsafe by our own human hands, may we see them and minister to them. May we know their struggles and may we respond with compassion. For those who stand out under the night sky, desperate to see a sign of your star, shine brightly for them. And for those who dance their way down the path, delighted by the beauty that this journey brings, bless them. Allow their joy to spill over into our lives, inspiring gratitude, generosity, and joy in each of us. Guiding God, we know that this life of faith is not easy. Even the Magi, those faithful seekers, had to change course. Even the Magi had to go home by another way. So as we journey, bless our wanderings, God. Bless our path. Walk beside us. Hang stars in the sky and place a deep knowing in our gut that we simply cannot ignore. And if the road turns into a dead end, grant us the courage to begin once more. With hope in our hearts and gratitude in our lungs, we unite our voices together, praying in the way your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
For you today, we're adding a hymn in. So please stand and join me as we sing One Small Child.
Oh, We've decided to add a prayer before the taking of the offering to have an opportunity to center ourselves and to focus on what we're doing when we share our gifts through our generosity. The fact is this: we worship a generous God, and this time is meant for us to reflect on the ways that we too can be generous with our time, our talents, and our resources. However you may feel led to give to Village Baptist Church, know that there is an avenue for your generosity, an avenue that makes a difference as we try to be the village that we all need today, friends. If you'd like to give financially, you can do so using the offering plates that will be passed during the service or using the QR code shown on the screen or on the back of your bulletins. Let us pray. God of grace, God of the gift, we come to you in awe of the provisions you give to us daily. During this time, may you inspire the same generosity within us as we, like the Magi, bring our gifts forward, recognizing we are in your midst and you in ours, and that we are on this great journey that reveals to us your grace. It is in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time for the children's story. Here's my name, right? All right. Wow, we've got a bucket load of kids. All right. So, do you guys know what today is? Today is the 12th day of Christmas. Did you know that? Oh, okay, so we have a birthday too. So today, it's called Epiphany, because we're the kids, we get to say these things first, so even before Pastor Caleb can talk about Epiphany, because we're the kids, we get to go first, right? So this is the day that the wise men came and visited Jesus. It's a big word, Epiphany. It's probably Latin or something, I don't know. Anyways, today's Epiphany, right? And so today's the day that the Magi came in to visit Jesus. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
So let's stand up and we're going to be the Magi. So what happened is the Magi came from a long, long way away and they were looking for Jesus. And they had seen a star. They were looking for Jesus because they saw a star, right? We call it the Star of Bethlehem. And they went to the king, Herod, who was a bit very corrupt, he said, I don't know, but he wanted to know where the king of the Jews was to be born. Just a second, okay? And so they kept going on their own without, because he didn't have any answers, but he was wanting to know. But they kept going, and they kept looking for where Jesus was born. And they kept, let's walk around a little bit here. So they kept walking to people, and they would say, do you know where Jesus is? No. Yeah. So, do you know where Jesus is? Do you know where Jesus is? We got an answer here. So they kept looking for the star. Let's go back up here now, guys. So they kept looking, and they saw the star, and they knew that that's where they needed to head. And when they arrived, they found Jesus there, and they brought him gifts. Gold, which was, that's the one that we could think of. There's frankincense and myrrh, which are things that we don't really think about nowadays. But they found gold. Think of it this way. Frankincense and myrrh were as valuable as gold. Very, very expensive. Good word. So we have to wait for, keep going here. Do you think we need to be rich people like that? Do we have to bring big gifts to Jesus to find Jesus? That's all right. You keep thinking. So maybe we just need to look at what we have right in front of us, okay? So maybe we just need to, we don't need anything other than ourselves, okay? Well, let's see here. So maybe just the things we have right in front of us, ourselves, the people we love, our church, our minister, our Sunday school teachers, our children's church leaders, maybe even brothers and sisters. Maybe you can find Jesus there. Maybe that's what we need to find Jesus, our parents. Yeah, okay. So maybe we don't need to look so hard. Maybe if we just look at what we have right in front of us, we can find the star. Okay? Let me see. Maybe if we're just patient and bring ourselves, we can find Jesus. Hopefully this will work. I've never cut this much in my life since yesterday when I was preparing for this. I'm back to kindergarten trauma. Look, you want to hold it up for us, Haley? Ruby, so the whole church can see it? Why don't you show it to everybody? Hold it up high. That's right. So maybe we have Jesus right here with us, and we don't even have to wait for Christmas or Epiphany to find Jesus. He's here with us all the time. Okay, let's go ahead and say a quick prayer. God, thank you for bringing us here together. Thank us for helping us to remember the day that the wise men visited Jesus, but also to remember that we don't need anything special. We just need to bring ourselves, and we can find Jesus all around us. Amen.
Today's scripture is from Matthew 2, 1 through 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them that the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God grant us understanding of this holy scripture.
You know, Kyle is exactly right. We don't know how many wise men there were. Only three gifts. It doesn't say there were three of them. Pretty smart. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. There's a story about a lady who had never heard the Christmas story, the nativity story. We'll call her Anne. Anne's parents weren't religious, so she was raised to believe that Christmas was nothing more than the time Santa Claus came and visited. She had, of course, heard about Jesus. Living in America, it's kind of impossible not to. But although she had heard of him, she didn't know the story of his humble beginnings that we do. One year, a friend of Anne's caught wind of this and was rightly shocked. "What do you mean you've never heard the Christmas story?" She couldn't believe it. After she got over her surprise, she decided to invite Anne to her church's Christmas pageant. It took some convincing, but Anne finally decided to go. They sat through the pageant, and everything went well. It was a great performance from everyone involved. After the show, Anne's friend asked her, "So what did you think?" In reply, Anne said, "All right, a virgin birth I can believe, but finding three wise men? There's no way!" I often wonder what it would be like to read the Christmas story for the first time again. I can't help but wonder what we miss from being so familiar with the story we tell all the time. I wonder what we miss when we don't ask questions about the assumptions we make. With the stories that we hear most often, we hardly ever slow down, ask questions, and consider what we're saying when we tell these stories. Along these lines, we know today's scripture passage well, don't we? Maybe a bit too well. There's no telling how many times we've heard the story of the three wise men. Throughout our whole lives, we've seen the nativity scene depicted in three children in costumes slightly off kilter, playing the magi from the east. We've seen them act surprised when they see a star. And we've seen these wise men follow the star in the sky into Judea, through Jerusalem, into Bethlehem, until they finally arrive at the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, as it were, freshly born baby Jesus. Sometimes when we do ask questions about the stories we tell, we often discover new ways of telling the same stories. I've quickly learned that this church has some astute students of Scripture like Kyle. And some of you are probably dying to say, "That's not actually how it happened, Caleb. The wise men weren't there on the night Jesus was born." And you'd probably be right. I mean, we don't really know. Odds are that three astrologers from lands far, far away probably didn't arrive at the scene of Jesus' birth any time when it actually happened. Those of you concerned with this fact may know that some interpreters of Scripture place the Magi's arrival in Jesus' toddler years. I'm quite jealous that they got to see what Jesus' terrible twos were like. Because we can tell the story in a new way, though, we can wonder about the significance behind the wise men arriving years after Jesus' birth. We can ask what this means about their journey. It was probably more grueling than a simple long night-long walk through the pastures where there were the sheep. At the end of the day, telling a story differently can glean new information from the same story. So as I approached this text for my sermon prep this week, I wanted to try and do just that. I wanted to defamiliarize us with this story to see if there's anything new we can glean from this text. I thought that if this didn't work out, I could always go back to the Finance Commission's favorite sermon on the wise men, the one that asks you, what gift will you give Jesus this year? Before saying that Jesus takes cash, check, tithely, just put it in the plate, please. But I figured that I'll keep that one in my back pocket for a special Sunday. In my retelling of the story of the wise men, I don't want to focus on the timeline. I don't want to focus on the gifts. I don't want to focus on the wise men, actually. Instead, I want to focus on the star. Have you ever really thought about the star? I can't say I thought about it too hard before this week. In every Christmas pageant, we're shown that the star stayed in the sky the entire time the wise men were journeying to baby Jesus. In this telling of the story, the star acted as a road map of sorts, and the wise men could always look up and tell if they were going the right way. This meant that the wise men had a pretty straight journey because they knew where they were supposed to go and how to get there the whole time. But unless the wise men were within a couple miles, you've got to start asking some questions. Like, did the star shine during the day? How long was the star in the sky? Did it come back up, then back down, or both? Was it just them who saw it, or could everyone else see it too? Did the star stay visible for their whole journey? I think this last question is most interesting to me. My first thought was, well, it didn't have to shine the whole way, because after they first saw it, they knew roundabout that they needed to go that way. But this week, I don't think I had ever thought about the possibility of the star appearing, disappearing, and then maybe appearing again. But now that I've looked into it, I think this might have been how it went. There's support for this in the text, so don't think I'm just messing all of this up for fun, but it takes a close reading. In verse 2, the wise men say that they saw, past tense, his star at its rising, and then they walked to Jerusalem, where they were looking for the king. Did the star bring them to Jerusalem? Or did they just guess, oh, the king probably lives in Jerusalem, since that's the capital of sorts. And we saw the star, we knew Jerusalem was the right direction. We don't know. Upon arriving in Jerusalem, of course, they instead get a meeting with King Herod, who has to be told where Jesus was born, after which he tells the wise men to go to Bethlehem. If the star had stayed up the entire time, everyone could have just looked up and said, yeah, I think it's that way. Nonetheless, after they start on the right path, the Greek gives us a little clue that our English translation doesn't. After they start down the road, the Greek uses a word that denotes surprise, something unexpected, something like, behold, lo, or a little more colloquially, whoa. I think this word suggests that the star popped up after it had disappeared for quite a while. Kind of like a, hey, you're going the right way, just so you know. Jesus is this way. All in all, I think there's a way we can read this story and think that the star appeared, disappeared, and then appeared again. Now that you've allowed me to nerd out a bit, let me tell you why I think this matters. I think retelling the story this way matters because it drastically affects how we think of the wise men's journey to Bethlehem. In our normal tellings of the story, the wise men have a divine roadmap that got them there. They know exactly where they're going, and they know exactly how to get there. In our normal telling, the journey seems rather simple and straightforward, doesn't it? If you get lost, look up. It's hard to miss. God's sign is as obvious as it can be, so it's impossible not to know where you're going. But if the star appeared, then disappeared, instead of having a road map that told them every turn to take, the wise men just had to give their best guess. Without a star in the sky, I bet there were many times where they got turned around and said, was it this way or that way or that one? I don't know where we're going. As someone who is directionally challenged, I bet they got lost. I bet they made several wrong turns. Journeying from a faraway land seems a lot more treacherous, does it not, if you have a cosmic sign that says, oh, it's this way. It's a lot harder to do that. It takes a lot more bravery to see something pop up, watch it disappear, and then say, yes, that's the direction I need to go. Without the star, the wise men from the east took a tough journey of detours, confusion, and quite frankly, fear. I wonder, though, if this story about the wise men is a more relatable story than the one we normally tell. Our lives are not completely straight journeys taken with a road map, are they? Just like the wise men, I believe that we all sometimes see glimpses of the divine, flashes of God, before they slowly disappear. God isn't some star bright in the night sky every time we look up. Like the wise men, we don't have all the answers or an obstacle-free path, and we hardly ever arrive at the end of a journey without feeling lost along the way. I think getting lost on the journey to find Jesus is something that all of us can relate to. How many times have we had to give our best guess and say, I think God is calling me this way, but I'm not sure? I wonder if all of us have felt like we're walking in circles often in our spiritual lives, wondering where in the world God is leading us. A lot of the time we're navigating our journey with God without some big obvious sign that, yes, you are doing everything right. We don't have a star in the sky. Like the wise men along the way, we're looking for the star that says we're headed toward God. We're looking for anything. But the story of the wise men we're telling today reveals to us a timeless truth about our spiritual lives. It reveals something about our walks with God today. Today we learn that we don't have to know where we're going to know that God is with us. Just like the wise men who showed up in Jerusalem before finding their way to Bethlehem, God understands that we don't have a roadmap for the journey of life. God knows that we won't get everything right the first time. God knows that we'll need direction more often than we don't. Just like the wise men, we are people who don't always know where we're going as we are on this journey to find God. And if you're feeling lost, as I'm sure all of us have, the good news this morning is that God knows how hard this journey is. So God meets us exactly where we are. Just like for the wise men, God sent that star all the way to where they could see it, all the way from the east. God does the same for us, too. It might not look like a star in the sky, but this story today reveals to us a God who will give us something to know that God is here with us. These signs, these pictures of the divine, allow us to know what kind of God our God is. Our God is a giving God. Our God is a relational God. Our God won't leave us when we're lost on the journey. Through these signs, we come to know the provisions that God provides for us every day. manna in the wilderness, water from a rock, a star in the sky. No matter what it is, time and time again, our God knows precisely what we need and chooses to meet it right there, right then. These signs, even if they're short and infrequent, even if they're glimpses, testify. They testify to a God who loves and cares for us as we embark on these journeys of life. These signs testify to a God who won't leave us high and dry. These signs testify to a God who meets us right where we are. I titled my sermon Epiphany because that's the name of the church holiday this Sunday is closest to, as Darian told us. Historically, Epiphany has celebrated the idea that the wise men arrived at an epiphany, at an understanding that they had found God. But with my previous discussion in mind, I wonder if we have to read the story of Epiphany in a new way. What if we were to consider that the Epiphany comes not because we've arrived at God? Instead, what if the Epiphany happens when God finds us? What if our epiphany comes once we realize that God finds us exactly as we are, exactly where we are, no matter our age, our ability, or our mindful state? Perhaps the epiphany this morning is when we hear the words, "This is my body broken for you," realizing that we haven't found God at all, but that God has found us right here, right now. In communion, we celebrate that, yes, indeed, God has found us. But as Baptists, we don't believe that communion does anything. We don't think it imparts grace onto us like the Catholics do, nor do we believe that Jesus' body and blood are literally here in front of us. So everyone can take part in this meal with no fear of punishment, with no fear that we have to meet certain criteria, but instead with the hope that comes from God meeting us right here and right now. This meal is a promise that God will and has met all of us where we are, whether it's in the toy that the child holds as they eat the bread and drink the juice, or if it's in the advanced theological understanding that only comes from a lifetime in the church, or if it's in the stirring of the Spirit within you, or if it's in the friend we stand beside as we come forward this morning. Everyone is welcome at this table because God will meet everyone exactly as they are, no matter who you are at this table. So in the spirit of reading stories anew, let us approach this sacred meal as if we were experiencing it for the first time ever. In line with our scripture passage today, let us experience this meal that celebrates a God who meets us exactly where we are. This meal reveals to us the God who appears to the wise men without them having to work for it. It reveals to us the God whose grace is so overflowing that God can't help but to appear to us, to show us God's love, to show us God's mercy, and to show us God's forgiveness. Right here in front of us, what these elements represent is not something we've accomplished, is not the culmination of our journey that we've earned. No, these elements are God appearing to us right now. Let this meal show us the epiphany of God meeting us here and now. We haven't found God at all. God has found us today. So let it show us, as if for the first time, that God is meeting us right here, right now. May it be so. Amen. That being said, we are in a way approaching this communion for the first time, because we're trying our hand at celebrating communion in a new way. But please keep in mind that this is low pressure. Low pressure. We're going to learn how to do this together, okay? If it goes poorly, just remind yourself that the difference between a bad haircut and a good haircut is about 2 weeks. Okay? After I perform the communion liturgy, I will call Kathleen and Ray forward to prepare, and then I'll call everyone forward to receive communion. If you can't come forward for whatever reason, sit tight. But those of you who can, please line up in a single file line, and as you shuffle to the ends of your rows, the deacons and I will get set to serve you. This is one part that many people don't think about. When you come forward for the bread, please open your hands in front of you and I will drop it into your hands. This will be a lot easier than you trying to pick it out of the tongs so we don't fight. Eat the bread, then go to the deacon on the side where you're seated. The deacons on both sides will be holding the tray of juice. Take one out of the tray and drink it. After drinking your communion cup, walk around the front pews to the sides of the sanctuary to file back into your seated rows. If you did this right, you should be in the same order. As you're walking around back to your pews, there are trash cans on both sides of the sanctuary for your communion cup. Toss it in there as you're returning to your seat. If you're unable to come up, as I said, Ray and I will come and serve communion to you, whether you're in the lobby, in the narthex, or here in the sanctuary. I will serve the deacons, and the deacons will serve me. Once everyone's back in their seats, it'll get back to somewhat normal. I will call everyone to stand and sing our hymn of reflection together. I'm not going to ask you if you have any questions, because you probably do. But we'll get through those. You'll get some bread and some juice, okay? Does that sound okay? Great. On the night Jesus was handed over, he met the disciples exactly where they were by sharing a meal with them. And during the meal, he took the bread, and having blessed it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal, he took the cup, and having blessed it, he shared it with those with him, saying, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant. You take and drink this. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? God, instill to us the wonder of experiencing communion for the first time. May it reveal to us the type of God you are, the one who meets us wherever we are, no matter what. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ray and Kathleen, would you please come forward? God has met us here. Please rise and come forward. Take part in this sacred meal. The body of Christ broken for you. Anita, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Norman, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Carly, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Here, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Samson, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you, the one you were sent on. Warren, this is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Now let us rise in body or in spirit together and sing our hymn of reflection. Number 163, Wonderful Words of Life. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And as you go forth, may you know this, that nothing can separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.